kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I'm calling this teaching today on faith. Faith is accepting God's way. Faith is accepting God's way. And very often we find that a lot of Christians have different views with regard to faith and the walk of faith. And it's not always as the Bible presents it. We have to learn about faith and accepting how God presents it when we really begin to understand the sovereignty of God. Because we've learned one thing, that God's never wrong. He's always perfectly right. And whatever he does with us, we find that we are never in control. We're not in control of our salvation. We're not in control of our destiny, our future, our making it into the kingdom of God. It is by the grace and mercy of God. God has never intended that your salvation should be that you are in control, that you have the destiny, you will know that you will make it into the kingdom of God. And yet there are many Christians and even teachers out there that really in many ways present it like that. They wouldn't admit as to what I have said, but in its delivery, very often it is presented in that way, that the Christian is in control. We are not. And until you really begin to learn the sovereignty of God, that God is what he is, it's what he presents himself from Genesis to Revelation, then we begin to learn it is by grace and mercy, and that by his grace and mercy, we will make it into the kingdom of heaven. But God presents the conditions of faith, of which it glorifies him and pleases him. And we have to learn as disciples to accept God's ways. We will never like God's ways in the flesh, in the intellect. It will always go completely contrary, opposite to what this world has educated us and done to us, which of course is what sin has done. No, God has to begin to teach us how to walk by faith. And that is dependent on the fact of how we yield to him. We can resist, we can make it difficult, and it will make our life and walk of faith difficult. But if we simply yield with that childlike faith that he wants us to have, we will always find his grace and mercy flows on our behalf. You see, grace, mercy, but grace in particular, is essential for us to be able to accept God's ways of faith. He did this, of course, with the Apostle Paul when he was seeking him. And on that third time, he revealed to him this thorn in the flesh, "My grace is sufficient." Even the apostle himself had to learn and accept God's ways of faith and walking by faith. But we too often rebel against it because we are trying to assimilate and understand our walk of faith, and we never will. else it's not a walk of faith. And that is why when you walk by faith, it is the miraculous. This is where miracles happen. And sadly, this is why so little happens in the house of God, because we don't accept God's conditions of walking by faith. But if you're in relationship with God and covenant with Him and you're experiencing God's love, then you begin to understand that He never gets it wrong, even though I might not understand my walk of faith. I don't think our walk of faith actually is presented to us to understand everything, else it would not be a walk of faith, because we're going to look at this in a minute in the Bible. But one of the main challenges that why many go back in this walk is because they can't accept God's ways. And yet the Bible shows us that God's ways are perfect. There is nothing wrong with them. They are what are going to give us eternal life. And yet we find we are in this battle, this conflict with God's ways. And that is why in His mercy, He provides that grace. Because He knows. He knows what we're being brought out from. He's very aware what sin has done through the centuries with mankind. Now, of course, we know the story very well of where Jesus had many disciples that walked with Him, not just the 12, but many followed Him. And He begins to challenge their walk, their consecration. He doesn't want them deceiving themselves. Now, this is something you learn as a preacher and a teacher. If you are truly called of God, there is something that you learn, and that is not only yourself you don't want to be deceived, but you do not want to deceive those who follow your ministry and listen to the teaching. You actually have a fear of God about it. You want to present it as the scriptures, the word of God presents His word. And Jesus is going to challenge here now these followers, because there's no deception in Him. He is truth. He is the way. There is no lie in Him, and He doesn't want those who follow Him to be deceived in any way. And I wish to God that more preachers had the fear of God on that, because they are going to have to stand before God and give account on that. And here we see, when we take it up from verse 48 of John chapter 6, verse 48, he says, here, I am the bread of life. Your father ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. And of course, he's referring to not only the manna that He did provide for them, but also the manna, the law that He gave through Moses. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that you may eat of it and not die. So He's showing now spiritually bread, because they identify with bread. It's our stable diet. So we understand what their diet was in those days. But He's referring that I am that bread. I am the bread of life. I feed you with my word. And He goes on, I am the living bread. And then he goes on, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for life of the world. So he's now becoming a little controversial. He has Jews present, and he's talking about flesh. What sort of flesh, you see? And again, they're not realizing that he's going to offer up himself as a living sacrifice to atone. And the Jews, therefore, queried among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Well, that's Ichabod, as far as they're concerned, when you talk about drinking the blood. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So he doesn't just stop there with verse 33. He knows they're offended, he knows they're confused, but he goes on to explain what it means, that whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. "For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." That's, of course, why we take communion. It is an expression. It is what it reveals. It's what he was saying here. And, of course, we know that the Roman Catholics believe that the priesthood has the power to actually turn that into Christ's flesh and Christ's blood. They are the only priesthood in Mass who have the power and ability to do that. And of course, that is deception. We know that that is not what Christ is talking about. "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." So it means that when we eat of the word, we keep under the blood of the Lamb. The blood atones for us. We have eternal life. It means we abide in him and he in us. "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." So he's comparing that manna that they had in the wilderness. They know about this from the word, their history, but he's showing now he's this living manna from heaven. But they don't understand, because they are offended. They're held by their traditions. They are not accepting God, faith, as he reveals it, as he reveals himself. And we still have this struggle today. This still goes on in the house of God. Nothing changes, nothing new. "These things he said to in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of the disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand this?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, 'Does this offend you?'" You see, he knows, because they're holding on to tradition. They're thinking about food and how food has to be prepared. It has to be kosher, you see. "What then, if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Now he's getting down to the root, the issue. He's talking about those who are of the flesh and those who are of the spirit. And we know that today, those who are in Christ, born again, and those who are not. Because those who are in Christ will not be offended by the word. They may not fully understand it, but they have that understanding that this is God's word and God will reveal all I need to know, that I feed off this, I live off this. This is why faith comes by hearing the word. It is your manna. It is what you feed off from. And we all need to eat food physically to survive, to live. How much more spiritually? This is what he's saying here. But there are some of you who do not believe. He didn't say about understanding. He said you just don't believe. And this is why it comes back to faith. Faith is accepting God's ways. Without it, it is impossible to please God. There have been times in my walk when I've said, Father, I don't understand, but I choose to believe because I walk by faith and not by sight. And the only way I please you is to believe. Even though I don't see it, even though I don't understand, yet you are faithful, you are true, you will reveal what I need to know in that right time and way. That is how I simplify my faith. When my mind starts to try to get in the way, to analyze, to understand, or whatever it would be. And we, of course, all do it. And we have a mind. We have a brain. It's God-given. But God has to touch that mind supernaturally. This is what he's saying. And the way he does that, the way you receive everything from God to your understanding and revelation of God's word is on the basis of faith. Believing, even if you don't understand yet. I wish to God more Christians would settle on this one. And that goes back to relationship. It goes back to the love of God, because that is what love does. Love will always trust and not question. Or doubt, even if you don't understand, or you're still waiting for the manifestation, or whatever it would be. That's how you go higher with God, which we're going to look at in a minute. And so he said that it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. You're not going to please God. It profits absolutely nothing where God is concerned, because it's only by faith will it work. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who don't believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe and who would betray him. So he knew. He had an inkling. He knew there were many following him, but they weren't walking by faith. They weren't showing the works of faith. They weren't showing the fruit of faith. And we see it in our circles. You see it in the house of God. And that's, of course, why we get in prayer. We pray and supplicate for one another. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Wow. So he's showing you can only believe. if you are called by my Father. He's showing now where faith comes to believe, because you can't do it intellectually. You cannot try and believe. Faith is not trying to believe. You either believe or you don't. And that is where honesty comes in. Sometimes we have to be honest with God. I'm not believing as I should be. And God, in his mercy and grace, will answer that prayer and start to deal with it in the way that he does, you see. From that time of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. It says many of his disciples went back, not just a few, many. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away?" And here it is. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." He realized there was nowhere else to go. And that is a clear sign when you are called of God, because you realize there's nothing to go to. There's nothing in the world that is going to give me eternal life, that will answer my needs, my innermost needs. No, you have the words of eternal life. It's plowing on. It's simply moving forward, no matter how it looks or whatever it would be. You see, there was the difference. And that was a sign that Peter and these disciples were called by his Father. Jesus saw that. What was he seeing? Their faith, their confession of faith. Even though they're going to blunder. Because even what Peter says here, and Peter said many things, "Lord, I won't deny you." And he did, and the rest of the disciples did. They fled, they ran away. But God had called them, you see. And of course, he restored them back into fellowship and so on. And this is what he does. This is the love and grace and mercy of God. This is why we say sometimes the Lord could have given up on me, but he didn't. I'm still coming, I'm still listening, still believing and trusting God. Why? Because you're beginning to learn to accept God's ways with regard to faith, you see. Many go back because they try to understand. They're failing to experience faith, because faith comes by hearing, not questioning or analyzing. Even when it's presented with great trials or testings, even great theological truths or whatever it would be, we always want to try to intellectually be in control where faith is, and you cannot. Faith knows it doesn't work that way, because it's revealed. That's why your steps of faith, your walking by faith, has come by revelation. You haven't tried to work at it. It's divinely given to you, shown to you. And this is why we give him all the praise and all the glory. And this is where you accept God and how he presents it, you see. This is why God doesn't try and explain himself. Right at the first verse in Genesis chapter 1, "In the beginning, God." He's not going to explain himself. Why does he present it that way? Because he said, it's by faith you will believe. You will not begin to intellectually try and understand me. That's why he doesn't try and explain himself. Because it comes by faith. It's revelation given to us. I've been talking on Instagram about Abraham with his son Isaac, and where God called Abraham and he said, I want you to make an offering, a burnt offering. And let us just turn to this in Genesis 22, because I think this explains what we're talking about here. And let's take it up from chapter 22, and we'll read it through here, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, so he's testing him, and this is what God will do with you. This is what Jesus was doing with these disciples, those that were following. He was testing to see those who believe and those who don't. And he's doing it here with Abraham, and he does it with you and me. So Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So we note that when God tests our faith, there's always a mountain of which to climb. You have to go up. You have to come apart from the world. You've got to go higher with God. God is now going to take you higher because he's going to now test your faith. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of the young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood, and the burnt offering arose and went to the place of which God told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So whenever God is going to test your faith, he's not only going to take you up that spiritual mountain, he's also going to set you apart for a season from the rest. Because this is personal. This is what God is going to do with you. And we note Abraham is in faith because he says, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. So worship is always essential. It's in his mind, in his thinking. It's in his DNA. And we will come back to you. So there is his faith confessing the word of God. God has given him a son, Isaac, whom he waited many years, and he said, we're going to come back. He's not understanding. All he knows is he's to offer, he's to build an altar, a burnt offering. And so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. That is all he knows. He's doing what he understands is a burnt offering. He's obeying, he's doing what God says. But God is going to show him something greater and bigger. And this is what God always does when he tests our faith and he takes us higher. We move on what we know, we understand. But you are going to experience something greater and bigger. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? So they know a lamb is to be offered. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Look what he's believing. Look what he's thinking. That is what he understands, you see. Then they came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. So all he knows is to kill him as an offering. But he's already said, we will return. He's already said, God will provide a lamb. He's almost prophetically speaking things he doesn't understand fully. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He's about to do it. He's not questioning his faith. He's not questioning God, his character. He is believing. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Wow. He fears God. In other words, he doesn't question. He does exactly what the Spirit is revealing to him. Flesh and blood doesn't reveal what's going on here. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there, behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horn. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. And so it goes on. So we know this to be a type. God saw that if man, flesh, is willing to offer up his son, how much more will our Heavenly Father offer his son, his lamb, to the world to atone. Tremendous story. Here he is, a man of faith, going higher with God. And this is what God is doing with us. I can only speak in FGA. We have to go higher with God. And God is going to lead you to your mountain. And it's going to be between you and God where you will meet on that spiritual mount to go higher with your faith. And you will know, because you will not question, you will not doubt, you will know God is doing something. You see, Abraham knew God was doing something with him. He'd walked long enough to learn that God had called him. There was something was going to happen. He didn't understand. He wasn't going to question. He is being shown supernaturally by revelation what to do. He realized this was not coming from his own carnal mind or thinking or understanding. And the moment you start to think carnally, you are trying to work it out or whatever, stop. Don't do it. Because this is where it goes wrong. And this is why our faith doesn't work. God is going to supernaturally raise you up. God is going to provide for all your needs. God is going to deliver you out of your enemy. God is going to do it. And we have to wait and allow him to do it. But you see, we panic. We start to allow fear to work. And fear will always cause us to react instead of acting by faith, you see. This is why we're calling faith is accepting God's ways. And God reveals himself as he is. He doesn't try to explain or whatever. He says, I will reveal myself to you. And you see, the understanding of God and the revelation that he gives us is when you step out in faith. You see, Abraham had to go through that to see the deeper meaning of what God was doing there. He wouldn't have known unless he acted his faith in what he did. He wouldn't have known otherwise. He wouldn't have known that God would bless him and his seed as a result of this. Look what it says in verse 17, what he's done here, his act. Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, as the sand is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. And so Abraham returns to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. Look, what we are blessed today, brothers and sisters, because of this man's obedience and faith. That's what it says there. We're blessed. And God, and his step of faith, his obedience, moved our Heavenly Father to give his only Son, that we would be grafted in. Look at the extent of this blessing, you see. That's what our faith does. That is what faith does when we allow God to take us higher with our faith. This is why I preached years ago that faith is like plateaus. It's like steps. You go higher with God. You never stay where you are. That's why we're maturing as sons. This is why the man-child in the womb is maturing, growing, developing. How? By this. And how God works with you and me. And faith and FGA. This is our walk of faith. So when God starts to show he's going to work with your faith, he's going to start to take you higher with him, don't question. Don't analyze. Just know your Father is in complete control. You love him and he loves you, and nothing's going to separate that relationship. Let him work what he's going to work, because there's something more I need to know and understand and experience from my Heavenly Father. That's how he does it. And when you come through, when you've passed the test, the joy, the blessing is, you haven't got words to describe what he does. It's absolutely profound. This is all his grace and love and mercy that he wants to teach us. You know, so few Christians today want to learn this faith walk. This is why you are blessed, brothers and sisters, because most turn back from it. But something within you says there's nowhere else to go. Because so few are preaching it. So much of what you hear today from preachers is what God isn't doing today. Sadly. And let's finish with Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. There we are. That's why you can't go back. You don't want to go back, because he has given me a gift. The greatest gift that ever can be given to mankind. It is precious. It is a treasure. No, you cannot put any value on this at all. That's why we don't go back. That's why we know that the world doesn't have the answers. I have been given something so profound, so great, You can't even put it into words. And what did I do to deserve this? What did God see to bless me with this? Nothing. Because God first loved me. And now he's going to teach me to walk with him. The greatest experience you can have as a son or daughter of God is to walk with your heavenly Father and never stop him when he starts to take you onto that next plateau and take you up, you and him, to that mount where he's going to teach you to walk by faith. There's something more he's going to reveal to your faith. Let him do it. Don't stop him. He knows what he's doing. He's the master potter, and we're simply that clay on that wheel with his hands molding and perfecting us, making us vessels of honor for his use. So there we are. Faith is accepting God's ways. You have a blessed week.